Today we read Jesus' baptism in the third chapter of Luke. Let us listen now for God's word for us this morning. As the people were filled with expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, "I baptize you with water, but the one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor, to gather the wheat into his granary. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." So with many other exhortations, he proclaimed the good news to the people. But Herod, the ruler, who had been rebuked by him because of Herodias, his brother's wife, and because of all the evil things that Herod had done, added to them all by shutting up John in prison. Now, when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form, like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my son, the beloved. With you I am well pleased." Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You would pray with me. Gracious God, open now our hearts and our minds to hear your word for us. May you claim the words of my mouth and the listening of our ears and the transformation of our hearts just as surely as you claim us in baptism. May all that is said and heard be pleasing in your sight, O Lord. Amen. Eleanor Shellstrop didn't need anyone. At age 14, she emancipated herself from her disinterested parents. As an adult, she held a job that didn't require much of her, and she kept to herself. She had no family, and even the people that she would probably call acquaintances, she kept at arm's length. At one point, she was offered a job with an absurd salary, which she turned down, because part of the job description required her to be a team player, and to develop a relationship with her coworkers. Eleanor is the type of character that producer Mike Shore loves to write about, which is why he made her the centerpiece of the show The Good Place. And if you haven't seen The Good Place or know of that show, you might recognize the mold in some of the other seminal characters he has created in sitcoms over the last few decades, notably Ron Swanson from Parks and Rec or Dwight Schrute from the American adaptation of The Office. This rugged individualism which these characters embody is a big reason why so many of us love them. We too desire to be fully independent people, existing in a world strictly by our own choice. They put up with the world, and they pity those who show any sign of dependence, and we laugh with them at the ridiculousness of the fellow human beings around them that seem imprisoned by their need for connection. They want life on their own terms, and they don't need anyone. I get the feeling that Luke would have preferred a ruggedly individualistic Jesus in this story of Jesus' baptism. It makes the theological arguments of his time much more easy to make God fully divine and apart, not really worry about the humanness. Like in most of the stories that appear in multiple gospel accounts, the preferences of the authors are most clearly seen in the distinct details that vary from each account. Though Matthew, Mark, and Luke seem to all agree on the proclamation of the coming Messiah who will baptize not with water, but the Holy Spirit, they also agree on John's self-proclaimed unworthiness baptize Jesus. Yet in Mark and Matthew, the story very clearly states that John baptizes Jesus, while in Luke it becomes less clear. In Luke, it would seem as though John was in prison when Jesus was baptized and would not have been there at this scene. Not only that, the baptism is taken out of the center of the story, with Jesus being baptized with a multitude of others, and the good part of the story coming after that. You see, Luke is writing at a time when baptism is still understood to be a purifying act, in which the one being baptized is cleansed of all impurity in order to enter into a new life with God. Jesus, being the Son of God, the Messiah, Emmanuel, God among us, should have no need for this sort of cleaning, right? As he is without sin and is the harbinger of a new heaven and a new earth. And since we know from the gospel narrative that Jesus is not someone who does stuff just for show, the baptism must mean something. But Luke rather not invite too much reckless speculation about the holiness of Jesus or why the Son of God might choose to be baptized. Instead, Luke rather just get on with the heavenly proclamation where the Holy Spirit descends like a dove and a voice from heaven affirms to Jesus what we have already been told. The voice says, "You are my Son, beloved." Luke doesn't want us to think too much about Jesus' baptism and would instead like us to focus on what comes after. See, Jesus being baptized doesn't quite fit the mold of a Jesus that is here not just to save the world, but to seek relationship with the world. Luke cannot escape the fact that Jesus is indeed baptized, and this is not something Jesus could do on his own. Though I do get a little joy out of imagining Jesus cannonballing into the Jordan River screaming, "In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." But it is not just that Jesus was baptized. It is that he chose to be baptized by another. That is the heart of the scripture. Jesus' willingness to choose again a form of vulnerability, to choose depending on another, to choose to trust in God and the faithfulness that comes from that choice. God enters the world as an infant child, dependent on his loving parents, and at the discretion of wise men when he is immediately put under the threat of worldly powers and death. Jesus, now in adulthood, enters into the beginning of his ministry, choosing again a form of vulnerability, allowing another to baptize him, and in being baptized, to be claimed by God and the one whom God wants to be in relationship with. In Christ's baptism, we see modeled for us the power of depending on something beyond ourselves, and the vulnerability. And is there anything we fear more than the vulnerability that comes with depending on someone else? Psychologists have suggested that one of the contributing factors to our inefficient efforts to contain and address the pandemic are our underlying negative feelings about being viewed as someone who needs someone else. Neediness and dependency become soldiers in our vocabulary of shame when our culture glorifies self-reliance and self-made success stories of our titans of industry. We are more likely to suffer in silence than to ask for the help we need for fear of how we might be viewed. We push back on the idea of needing anyone else because we tie our own value to our ability to produce. Take care of ourselves, and those who do not are are seen as less than. Yet Jesus is baptized by another. As our directory of worship says, in his baptism, Jesus identifies himself with the sinner. Jesus chooses this interdependence with the community of God to be a part of it, to model the righteousness and faithfulness that glorifies God by depending on God and leaning on other people. Jesus' ministry is marked by this help that he receives, which most notably comes in the form of homes he stays at and meals that are provided for him, which he shares with others. His ministry relied on the work of others, those who provided while he taught. Even the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000 starts with someone else's fish and bread. And what does God think about all of this? As soon as Jesus is baptized, as soon as he has been claimed, embraces that claim, as soon as he takes up for himself this deep and abiding vulnerability, marked by a grace that crosses every boundary, the heavens open. The Holy Spirit descends, and a voice says to him, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." God wants us to depend on God, and wants us to learn to depend on one another. In our need, we grow in faith, in asking for help, we become more capable of helping others. In the waters of baptism, we proclaim that we could never, cannot, and never will do it on our own. In the waters of baptism, we proclaim our dependence on God and God's will for us to also depend on one another. As a congregation, when we make baptismal vows, we announce our public profession that the child we baptize can depend on us, to guide and nurture them by word and deed, with love and prayer, encouraging them to know and follow Christ and to be faithful members of his church. In the coming weeks, it is my hope that we might each identify places in our life where we need a little help. By God's grace, we might have the courage to ask one another for it. I hope Christ invites us into this vulnerable space of faith, that we too may be filled with the Spirit, becoming ever more capable of helping others when they may ask us to help them. In the not-too-distant future, our church will have new resources to educate people about the many ministries that this church is involved in and how you might get involved in the work. Let's just say this is our church's way of saying we need help to help others. Eleanor Shellstrop discovers that the good place is really just a place where you have all the time you need with the people you love, the people she needed to become a good person. Ron Swanson becomes dear friends with the people he once pitied, people that even he learned to rely on when he needed help. Dwight Schrute goes from odd loner to still odd beloved boss, whose wedding provides the culinary event for the entire show, showing his growing interdependence with the family he's made along the way. The arc of the rugged individual always seems to lead to the discovery that the most joy in life is the joy found in a life shared with others, the ones who love enough to depend on. The Westminster Catechism tells us that our chief aim is to glorify God, enjoy God forever. I've always wondered where we start. We start here. We start at the font, and we remember this. Even Jesus was baptized.